We are in the book of Romans, chapter 7. Start from the verse 1.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God.
Now, when you're listening to this chapter, when we read these three verses, somebody will be thinking, Paul is talking about the marriage or relationship. But he's not talking about in this chapter about relationship. He's just pointing out about the sin problem. He's trying to say he's giving an example. If the lady is married to husband, as long as she's married to him, she is under his power. When the husband dies, she is free. Same way he's trying to say, if you're living in sin, you were living in sin at that time, you were married to the devil. And you were under his bondage. And now if you join to Jesus Christ, please read verse 4 one more time.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God.
Right. Now he's saying, now you are married to Jesus Christ. Now you are not bound to Satan or sin. Now you are free because Jesus Christ set you free. And now when you are married to Jesus Christ, then what you do? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. What is the fruit? Fruit of righteousness. You were living in sin. You are producing fruit to death. We read in the chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. You are producing death in your body, but now you join to Jesus Christ. So when you join to Jesus Christ, now you are not going to produce death, you produce life. Why? Because you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now he is your life. So when you join to Jesus Christ, now you are not under the bondage, you are free. And now when you're free, he says you are married to the another. Who is another? The man who was resurrected. Who was that resurrected man? Jesus Christ. So now he says, if you're married to Jesus Christ, who is your life, who is resurrected man, resurrection has a new life. The old death has no power. So he said, now you're married to the new person, who is Jesus Christ. So now you produce fruit or bring forth fruit unto God. Okay, verse 5.
For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death.
Right. Now he's explaining again. When we were under the flesh, under the demonic influence, so we were working sinful activities and bringing fruit unto death. That means we were dying under the law or under the old command. Now we are not under the law, but now we are under grace. Verse 6.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Okay, now he's trying to say, now see difference between the letter and the spirit. The letter is written law. We are not walking according to the literal law. We are walking about the Spirit of God. Now the people are fighting all the time about Ten Commandments. I'm not saying Ten Commandments are bad. They are good. But we do not have to fight to keep the Ten Commandments here and there. If you have the Spirit of God in your life, you are going to live by the Spirit. All the Ten Commandments are good, but if they were trying to save the mankind without Jesus Christ, he didn't have to come. The Ten Commandments or any commandments or any law was not able to save us, but Jesus Christ saved us. So he says the difference between law is called the letters, and the spiritual law is in our spirit. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and see the last paragraph. Paul is talking about the Old Testament. Okay, please read from there.
But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
So how are we changing? By the Spirit of the Lord. And the Old Testament, it says, wherever the Mosaic law is read, we just read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But you have to go and start reading from verse 9 or so.
For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished.
St. Paul is saying, even though Mosaic law looked like glorious, but in Christ Jesus, we have much more glory. The law of Moses was not able to save us. That's why Jesus Christ came. And he says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty means what? Freedom. Freedom to what? Not commit sin. Freedom to worship the Lord. Freedom to do the spiritual things. So here he's saying, now the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Okay, let's go back to the Romans chapter 7, verse 6.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
See what he's saying? In that law, when you're observing the law, we were dead. Like we were whole captive to death. But now when we came to the newness of spirit, that spirit is, we read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, that Spirit of the Lord gives you freedom and liberty. Now once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now we are not under the bondage of law, but now we are free to worship the Lord. Okay, verse 7.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Now see, the people get confused. He said, now the law was not good, and if the law is sin or what? He said, no, law is not sin. But when there was no law, people commit sin and they don't feel guilty. But if the law is given, then the law condemns you that you are guilty. So he said, I didn't know what the covetousness was, but when I came to the law, that the law told me, if you take somebody's thing, that's sin. Then I come to know, but still people knowingly breaking the law, and they are under sin. So the law makes you guilty. Without law, there is no guilt. So he said, then what should we say? We should have a law, we should not have a law. Let's read verse 8.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died.
See what he's trying to say. I thought I'm a good person, Paul is saying. And I thought I'm doing okay. But when I read the law and book of law, and that law made me a guilty. Not only made me guilty, killed me almost, because I was doing wrong. When I'm doing wrong, I'm under the law, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to hell. That is the stage of every unsaved person. That's what he's trying to say. Unsaved person, they are, if they are under the law, like a Mosaic law, or they are under any kinds of religious law, and if they're doing this without Jesus Christ, they are going to die in their sin and they go to hell. That's what it is. Because any law or any religion has no power to save mankind. Only Jesus is the Savior. Okay, that's what he's saying. I was already dead in my sin. Verse 10.
And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
Okay, now he says the commandment was given to the children of Israel to keep them spiritually alive. But he says, in my body, in my life, I thought I am bound to die. Because he's trying to say I was not able to keep up with the law. That's what the problem was. Okay, read further. Verse 11.
For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me.
Okay, now he's saying that commandment always killed me. I was thinking that commandment is good, it will help me, but he says it deceived me. Means I was thinking if I do the commandment, I'll go to heaven. But I start doing the commandment, I was not able to do it, and it's almost destroyed me. Verse 12.
Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, law is good, law keeps me good, and so what's the problem here? He says the problem is this. I'm thinking law is good and I'm trying to do according to the law, according to the commandment of God. But the more I think about the law, more I feel guilty. More I'm thinking about do this and I should supposed to do it. And certain things I didn't know and we start knowing those things start pointing towards me that I'm a bad person. And that's what the law does. Law does not save you, but law makes you guilty. And the people say, oh, we can do the law. You remember one man came to Jesus Christ and said, I want to go to heaven, or how can I get eternal life? He said, do you do the law? Yes, I do from my childhood. He said, okay, then sell everything, give it to the poor and follow me. What did he say? He said, no, I'm going away because I don't want to follow you. If he had the idea, if he wants to go to heaven, then he has to do the will of God. That means he was not doing the will of God, he was not following the law properly, and he was not pleasing God. When Jesus said, okay, you want to be perfect? Give up everything, sell everything, and follow me. But he did not do because he was thinking, law will make me perfect. But the law did not make him perfect. Now, even though he did the law from the childhood, if he dies, he might go to hell. Jesus Christ was saying to him, follow me, and you will have eternal life. He said, no, I don't want to follow you. I want to follow the law. And I want to do the law what I'm doing. So he missed. So the St. Paul is saying, this is same thing happening to me. I am observing law. I start doing the law. That's why he was Pharisee. He was a Hebrew. He was very highly educated in a Jewish law. But that law did not give him salvation. But he said that almost killed me. And more I learned about the law, more I go deeper and deeper in my sin. verse 14.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Right. Now he says the law is good. But what is the law good? You cannot keep up with it. You understand? The law is given, but he says, I could not obey that law. I cannot perfectly follow the law. Law is good, but I cannot do it. That's why when you cannot do it, then you need a savior. Why should I come to Jesus Christ? I have everything, enjoying my life. Then somebody has to say, but this everything what you have, when you die today, what will happen to you? Everything you lose. Then there is another life. Would you like to have life eternal, and that life eternal comes through Jesus Christ, and you cannot get it until you admit that you are a sinner and you need a savior, and then you confess your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that man starts thinking, hey, I'm going the wrong way, I'm going to die and go to hell, let me receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and live for Jesus Christ, then the man will come. Otherwise, the person will say, I'm doing okay and I don't need anything. I'm okay. But he says, that's not okay. The law is not going to make you perfect. Okay, verse 15.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, I want you to do something good, and I cannot do it. And certain thing I don't want to do it, and that's the thing I do. So he said, this is what the human nature is. Anybody wants to do something good, but they cannot do it because he said, why this is happening? He says, because this is happening, sin in your life. If you get rid of sin, then you will not have any problem to keep your life straight in the hand of God. Sin is the problem. Now, sin dwells in the fallen man. If the fallen man is the sinner, and he tries to do everything good, people give money to charity, they do and do hard work, go to the helping people and doing everything. But if they're not committing their life to Jesus and not repenting for their sins and not receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and whatever they're doing, they're thinking they're doing something good, that something doing good is not changing their life. They are not changing their life because they don't know who can give them victory over sin. That's the problem. Now, Christian people, they go to church, listen to the message. But the preacher didn't say, if you receive Jesus Christ, then you live for Him. Live a holy life. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. So they come to Jesus Christ to just not to go into hell. And they're living hell on earth themselves. That if you're married to the devil, and you are bound to the devil, and you are doing the according to his will, or if you're bound to the law, you're going to do according to the law, but you are dying. Now you came to Jesus Christ and you're married to Jesus Christ, who is the resurrected one, who is the eternal one, who is giving you eternal life, then you live life according to him. That means let the Jesus Christ rule your life. Verse 18.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Okay, now he's saying, for I know that it in me, that is in my flesh. He's saying, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That means the flesh tells you to do evil things. All the evil desire comes by flesh. Another day, one man was on a TV and talking to one very famous minister. He said, listen to your body. So I said, sir, we don't have to listen to our body. Our body has to listen to our spirit. If you're led by the flesh, you will be doomed. You should be led by the spirit and then you will overcome. So here he says, the sin lives in my flesh. That's why Jesus Christ took the form of the man in flesh, and he died for us so that we will have victory over flesh. He said, I want to do something good, but my flesh does not allow me to do something good. That means the carnal man or the unsaved man is sold out to the flesh, sold out to the world. That's what the world and worldly desire that person does. And that's what is bondage is. We have to be free from that kind of bondage. That's why Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from sin, sickness, disease, and the death penalty. It's not only from hell, but from all these sinful activities. Okay, verse 19.
For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do.
Now, still again he's saying, I want to do something good, but I cannot do it. But what I'm doing evil, which I don't want to do. And this is the nature of man. That's what he's trying to say. This is the nature of every man. They want to do something good, they cannot do it. Why is that? Because he said earlier, because of sin, because of flesh, because of influence of the devil. And that's why people are struggling to live clean and holy life, and they cannot do it. So now he says, now there is an answer is here. Verse 20.
Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
He said, I found out one thing. I want to do something good, I cannot do it. Then he said, why is that? Why I cannot do the things I want to do? He says, sin. When you live in sin, you cannot do anything good. Period. So that's what it is. Okay, let's read verse 21.
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Okay, now he says there is a war going on. Because the Adam, when he ate that fruit, he says, you will know good and evil. So now every person, saved or unsaved, they have built-in conscience. This is good, this is bad. Now there is a war going on. Before the person goes to murder somebody, his inner man is saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But then he yields to his temper or anger or frustration, and then he goes and he does. And anything, stealing or killing or doing anything. Before you do, there is a war going on. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But the person, if that person is not born again, what happened? Flesh overcomes. And then they say, I don't know why I did it. Why this is happening? Because the flesh and sin overpower your good conscience and you yield to the evil conscience. Okay, let's read verse 24.
A wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Now he's crying. Now who is crying? It's not St. Paul. It's the sinner crying. He says, this is what the natural man cries. Oh, how wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me or save me from this body of this death? That means this body is killing me. This body is destroying me. This flesh is destroying me. Is there anyone can help me? That's the cry coming out of the sinful man. How many people you will hear, they wanted to do something good and they cannot. And they say, oh, I want to do something good, but I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't want to do these things. And that's what the Saint Paul is saying. This is what the man cries. And people say, oh, Saint Paul had the problem. St. Paul didn't have the problem. We'll see later on. Let's read verse 25.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Now he said, I thank God. What Jesus Christ is doing to him? He says, I found out something. Let's read one more time.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Now what he's trying to say, in mind or in his soul he serves the Lord, but his flesh is still bound to the physical law or the Mosaic law. Is he satisfied with that? No. Now just think, St. Paul had the struggle. If he's in the law, he's dying in his flesh. He's going to hell. But now he says, I found something here. My spirit has to tune with Christ. If my spirit is tuned with Christ, then I am going to serve the Lord. But if I'm living in flesh, I'm going to live in sin. So now you tell me, St. Paul was living in sin, or he was living in the spirit and fulfilling the law. Now somebody says, how can we fulfill the law in the spirit? Go to the chapter 8, verse 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
This should be in the chapter 7. Chapter 7 should be finished this way. Because when you read in 25th, it's still not clear. It's saying, I found a law. If I'm in Christ Jesus, my mind, I can please the Lord and do the things of God. But in my body, sin still reigns. So what is the solution? Solution is this. So what he's saying now, there is one thing he found. Therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. And then what he said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So if you are in Christ, are you after flesh? No. You are after spirit. So that's the difference. There are Christian people, they are born again, but they are going after the flesh and still committing sin. If you are living in Christ, then you are living by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you cannot commit sin. You have to completely dedicate your life to God. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So what the law was doing? Law was killing him and destroying him. The sin was destroying him. But he said, now I found a new law in Jesus Christ. When I am living by the Spirit of God, I am free from law and I'm free from sin, I'm free from death. That's the law in Jesus Christ. That's why he's saying, oh, I'm a wretched man. Who will save me? Who will redeem me from this kind of bondage? He found the answer in chapter 8. So he's saying, now I know, if I am sold out to Jesus Christ, I am living by the Spirit of God, I am living by the Spirit of Christ, then I am a free man. I am not under the bondage. I'm not going to die in sin. I'm going to live a victorious life. That's the Christianity. Okay, I'm going to stop here.